Thank you. You guys have it real easy. I never had it like this where I grew up. But I send my kids here because the fact is, you go to one of the best schools in the country, Rushmore. Now, for some of you, it doesn't matter. You were born rich and you're going to stay rich. But here's my advice to the rest of you. Take dead aim on the rich boys. Get them in the crosshairs and take them down. Just remember, they can buy anything, but they can't buy backbone. Don't let them forget that. Thank you.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'm Andrew.
I am Douglas.
And this is Damien. Live from gold medal winning Jamaica. Gold medal. Who has the fastest woman in the world? Not Britain. Not America. Where's Andrew again? Trinidad. Trinidad's won.
No, not Trinidad.
Right?
Not Trinidad.
No? No? Okay. No. So you defected at the worst possible time. Jamaica's 50th celebration, where we've won the Olympics. Alright, there's people literally dancing in the streets. And you're in Trinidad, by yourself, not enjoying the Olympics. Not enjoying Jamaica's 50. You've made a mistake, Andrew.
I will say, however, that Trinidad's 50 is at the end of this month. So maybe
no
people
shit.
Dancing in the street then.
Will the Olympics be on at the end of the month? No, it won't. No, it won't.
More than likely, the local station here will start repeating it, especially if they actually win something. I doubt it.
Win what? There's no second. There's no thanks for participation medal. Don't worry, we'll win it for all of the Caribbean. We'll share our glory with you guys.
I'm sure we won't.
No, we won't. Not even a little bit.
Anyways, it's been 2 weeks since you've spoken. I'm sure there's a lot to get through, so Damien, what have you been watching?
It's been 2 weeks because, as I said, we've been preparing for Jamaica's 50. We had to hang up a lot of banners. Me and Douglas was out on the road. You know, we had to do stuff. There was flags to be flown and parties to schedule and Olympics to win. And so we were a bit busy last week. And so we're coming to you this week. Today, Saturday, August 4th. We have dominated the Olympic track and field event. And by dominate, I mean win the women's 100 meters. And gotten our bronze as well. So we've pretty much won it, right, Douglas? No one cares about anything. I won't talk about
that's
men's.
The only thing that matters. I mean, let's not talk about things like the South Korean archers.
Right. Yeah, but hold on. You know what else we did? I'm not sure if... I wasn't listening because I never listened to Damien.
Fair enough.
But we came fourth in swimming
which
the breaststroke.
Amazing.
That was fantastic. And honestly, to tell you the truth, the way she was swimming, if it wasn't for the swim-off, she'd have come third.
Right. I know Twitter isn't supposed to be used for positivity, but I had to send her a positive tweet thanking her for coming fourth. We need to spend time and remember athletes like her are not just focused on the people who actually win. Jamaica is surrounded by water and we have one swimmer. That's really bad, guys. Now, we could complain that we don't have the facilities and whatnot, but guys, we're surrounded by water. Let me emphasize.
So you're saying, Damien, for next Olympics, you're right. Going to set up the training regime in which you're going to take them in a boat,
right.
Throw them out like 100 200 meters away and tell them to swim in the opposite direction towards the next island.
No, if you're not back in record time, I'm going to shoot you in the water. Right, this is ridiculous. Right, everyone has feet. So
is there a shark involved in this training regime?
There might be. We have sharks here. They're not real big, but they're effective. So, yes, it's been 2 weeks. We've been busy basking in the golden glow of the Olympics. And by golden, I mean medal. And by medal, I mean 100-meter women's.
I'm sure by next week we'll talk about all the other golden achievements.
We don't need to talk about the men because they don't have competition. There was a chance the women might not have won. A small chance, but a chance nonetheless. The men's is a joke. I can't wait for the 4x1 to see. Essentially, when we finish the race, it will be daytime. And when second place crosses the line, it will be nighttime. So much. It's kind of sad. I'm glad that I lived long enough to see this day. I mean, I have contributed in my own special way to these Olympics by mocking Asafa Powell since day one. And it's worked swimmingly. What were we talking about? Movies. Right. So, a couple of years ago, it was announced that a great movie was coming this summer. Right? A truly epic, magnificent movie.
Oh, wait, hold on. One question before you go. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it, Douglas?
No, I have not. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
I was going to say hold off and let all of us talk about it, but sure, go on.
Alright, a truly epic, brilliant movie from a director at the top of his game. Unlimited budget, unlimited scope. You could have done whatever you wanted with characters that we've known and loved for the past how many years. And I'm talking about, of course, Danny Boyle's Olympic opening ceremony with Sir Kenneth Branagh, the goddamn queen, James Bond jumping out of helicopters, and Mr. Bean. It was 3 hours.
Let's get this clear, guys. Danny Boyle let Mary Poppins fight Lord Voldemort.
Exactly. No, I want everyone to be clear. This is the greatest piece of cinema I've ever seen. Right? Danny Boyle took the Olympic opening ceremony and made it about everything but sport. The Queen has nothing to do with sport. James Bond has nothing to do with sport. James Bond banging the Queen on a helicopter so hard that she had to jump out of said helicopter also has nothing to do with sports. Mr. Bean daydreaming and running on a beach. Now, Kenneth Branagh was doubtful to get his knighthood. We had talked about it earlier in podcast, and we said, why isn't he Sir Kenneth Branagh? It didn't make any sense. And then we remembered he was present in the Wild Wild West. And the Queen said to him, there's no way we're making a knight out of anybody that is in the Wild Wild West. But that all changed for this Olympics. Branagh used the trump card. If I perform in the most ridiculous spectacle of all time, your opening ceremony, you will make me a knight. And she agreed. So Sir Kenneth Branagh stood up there and said words incomprehensible to everybody and did dances that no man should ever do. The ceremony was big, it was loud, it was ridiculous, as all opening ceremonies are. The question still remains, is it as good as the last opening ceremony? And that answer is a resounding, not even close.
I think it's unfair, though, to ever compare any opening ceremony to what China
put on. Listen to me carefully. If you get the Queen to jump out of a helicopter, you could have gotten anything else you wanted. Right? The Queen jumped out of a helicopter with James Bond. Now, we all know whenever James Bond gets in any vehicle with any woman, we know what happens. Right? Woman gets banged. I've never seen one be banged so hard she jump out of a helicopter. That is spectacular. What is also spectacular is how little the Queen enjoyed being on camera the entire time.
That was hilarious. She especially, seen... they went to her specifically when Great Britain was going past. And just saw her go like, picking her nails like, oh, what the fuck's going
on? A couple weeks earlier, they had her diamond celebration, which she was wet and cold the entire time. So understandably angry at the fact that she was being paraded around for the British people. This is the Olympics. They're not going to have it again for a good long while. She'll probably be dead. Although she's, what, a billion now, so she'll probably be alive. She needs to pretend. As queen, she has to pretend to enjoy the Olympics. And not scowl as if she wants to say to everybody, I hate you poor people, please leave my country. But there was children, there was Voldemort, Mary Poppins, as Andrew alluded to. There was nurses and doctors not tending to actual sick people to come and dance. Which, if I was a sick person and heard that, I'd have punched whichever doctor it was that was treating me directly in the face. I've been watching nothing but the Olympics. I could tell you about any sport you guys want to know about. But in terms of movies, pretty thin.
I wonder why.
How was the fencing, Damien? I didn't watch
the fencing. Was tremendous. I like the archery that went into quadruple overtime or whatever the shoot-off nonsense they call it.
Did you watch the women's weightlifting?
Yes. That doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist?
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't?
No, it doesn't.
Then why did I watch it?
Still jokes.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, Douglas.
One of the few things that I actually
The
watch.
Joke was that they're not lifting heavy enough weights.
You're sexist,
I was going
sir.
To a joke with them lifting mops and buckets. Thanks for ruining that joke. It's been pretty good. The Americans did well in swimming, I guess. No one gives a shit anymore because track and field has started. Federer is continuing to destroy the hopes of all British people by refusing to lose and drop out of the tennis. He wants the gold medal there, and he's playing Andy Murray tomorrow, which he's probably going to win. But I'm happy to see that Britain put on a good Olympics, despite the fact that their country is in financial chaos. But that's what the Olympics is for, to pretend that everything is all right in the world for 2 short weeks. Syria hasn't won any medals. They're angry. The government has been shelling their citizens as a result. For being worthless. Right. What I've watched.
Can I tell you? I just want to let this be known.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said it before, at least mentioned it before, but I'm disappointed in Andrew. Andrew, who no longer lets us hear mm-hmm. what he's doing
mm-hmm.
because he has decided to turn off his microphone unless he's actually talking.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous.
Not
especially when I see him now on video mm-hmm. and he's laughing his head off and I see him teetering right. and I'm thinking to myself,
will he drop again? No.
But you see, even if that were to happen, I would never actually get the satisfaction of hearing right. that huge whomp that happens whenever he drops on the floor laughing.
And that's,
but that's
what
because I don't want to put our listeners through the painstaking trouble of hearing all four of us in like unison making nonsense noise over and over throughout
but
the podcast.
I was I'm pretty sure that's what this podcast is all about. it's not about movies.
I don't recall making sense at any point. That's not in my contract. I've read it several times. Right. So I saw some movies. I saw one movie that you guys will be proud of me for watching. It's called Step of Revolution. Now, guys, I watched this movie for one reason and one reason only. I saw the trailer while on the internet one day, and it is a step-up movie about political action. And I saw that and went, there's a chance.
What the fuck?
A small chance that this movie may contain so much arms house that it will be good. It is not.
I could have told you that, Damien.
No,
there's political action in Step Up.
They're trying to get political reform using dancing in the streets, which is as stupid as it sounds, and even more stupid while people are actually dancing. Now, the movie is bad. What is good about the movie is what is good about all Step Up movies. If you enjoy seeing people dance about in choreographed fashion, behind with shitty music as the background, then by all means go and watch this and all the other step-ups. Sadly, I do not enjoy A, the music, or B, anything else that is not the dancing. It's, while watching the movie, it occurred to me that this movie is what shitty kung fu movies are. What you do is you wait for the YouTube clip of all the action scenes compiled together. And then you watch that 20 minutes and pretend the movie didn't happen. is what I should have done. Instead, I spent money and saw this movie.
Wait, sorry, you spent money to watch this movie?
Yes, I did spend money to watch this movie.
Sad, sad man.
It was horrendous. I know I should watch it. It's really bad, guys. Like, unbelievably so. Black Dynamite has been turned into a cartoon on Adult Swim, and it is The Boondocks meets Black Dynamite, which is borderline too amazing. They've taken it a little bit too far, and it is fantastic. I love every second of it. There's no real way to talk about it. It's Black Dynamite in cartoon form. Have you seen Black Dynamite? No. First, punch yourself in the face. Second, go watch Black Dynamite. And then go watch the cartoon. And enjoy yourself. I saw Dark Knight Rises. Hey guys, it's pretty good. I've seen on the internet people saying that it's not as good as the second one because it hasn't made as much money. Which, that argument is spectacular. Because A, it doesn't make much sense. And B, the movie came out about 4 days before the Olympics started. Now, if you don't think, thank you, Andrew, if you don't think that the Olympics is taking away viewers from a movie, no matter what that movie is, you live in a world that I'd like to visit because you are retarded.
In the States, I could almost see that argument.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the States.
But the States is what they use as their bellwether.
No, the argument was worldwide.
Oh, worldwide. Yeah. Oh, okay.
People are busy watching Olympics. You idiots. After I watched Dark Knight Rises the second time, I went home and I started gearing up my hype train for Superman. And I looked at Zack Snyder's body of work, and it occurred to me that a lot of the complaints people level at his feet are incorrect. Zack Snyder cannot tell a story. We know this. Which is why his two best movies are stories that had already been told for him. When you give him a story to tell, we get Sucker Punch. The thing is, though, even in Sucker Punch, his direction, while the CG nonsense that happened is horrendous, it was pretty bad. There's a scene at the beginning of that movie where he shoots a dance number, and in the director's cut, it's extended, so you get to see the whole song and dance and whatever. And it is up there with the best ones I've ever seen. So he knows how to direct. He knows what he's doing, what he can tell is a story. Now, guys, I want you to imagine. Close your eyes and think. What would a Superman movie be like if the Dark Knight people wrote the story but did not do any of the action? Instead, the action was done by the man that gave us 300. Can you imagine it? I can see smiles. I see a tear coming out of Andrew's eye. That's how much he's looking at this.
It's going, you know. It's an emotional moment.
The chances of this movie being bad doesn't exist because, as I said earlier, Nolan is writing this movie. The guys that wrote the Batmans are writing this movie.
Because honestly, all I can think about right now is Mekhi Phifer holding a zombie baby and the emotional attachment I had to things like that that Zack Snyder can give me.
Yeah, no, don't think about any of that. Ever again. Guys, remember how we wanted a Superman who fought shit? I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to get. I can't wait. And then I went right back to the Olympics. Now again, is there anything that you guys want to know about Olympics? China is probably going to lose this Olympics because they have no one in the field events and they're tied with America right now. So they're probably not going to win it. Which is sad because America will be able to use the line that they love so much. They're number one. At this point with your country owing trillions of dollars and on the edge of collapse, you probably shouldn't be running around shouting that you're number anything. You should hide in a hole somewhere, much like Spain's Olympic team did. In respect to how their country is doing, they did equally as badly in the Olympic football.
Right.
Olympics, Olympics, Olympics. And Douglas, what have you been
watching? Douglas, what have you been watching more importantly?
Okay, so... excuse me.
This is going to be good.
Yeah, I'm getting over a cold, but let's try and get beyond that.
Men don't get sick, Douglas. I've never been sick.
All right, fair enough. I just want to preface my list by saying that over this weekend, I was supposed to have gone to Trinidad, visited my brother, and seen The Dark Knight in IMAX.
Sure, visiting your brother was the more important part of that trip.
Well, I want him to still let me come and watch Skyfall, so I need to panda.
All right. Yeah. We wanted to see Andrew, but plans fell through.
Thanks for making me feel better.
Right.
Like I'm at all.
Despite plans falling through, I did still get vacation from my work.
Mm-hmm.
So I have actually not been at work since Tuesday.
Rich.
That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So that's 4 days of not having to do work.
Mm-hmm.
And now into the list.
All right.
The three TV shows Douglas watched this week.
The list is pretty big.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty big.
Yes, it is. Okay, so I've watched quite a few things, as you can expect. Much of them is TV, and much of it is British.
Racist.
So, I watched The Last Detective. I'm going to start off with all the bad things first. I watched The Last Detective, and that is a detective show. It's British. It actually started off really good in a sense, because it was, to me at least, clearly a comedy, and it was so cheesy that there was just something about it that said, you know what, this could be really good, cheesy fun. And then I realized they're actually trying to be serious, and it kind of
fell to pieces
after that. Halfway through the first episode, I stopped and said, I am sorry, Mr. Last Detective, I will not watch the rest of you. I had a similar experience with a show that was recommended to me by Steve. You know Steve, right? Steve Netflix?
Well, no, Steve.
Yeah, okay. So Steve Netflix said to me that
He's since friends with Mike Amazon.
Yeah, he is actually.
And Ricardo Hulu. But he said to me, since I like Top Boy, which we spoke about either last episode or the episode before that, that I would like this other British movie by the name of Kidulthood. I did not.
DNF. DNF.
It was... And the funny thing is, it got a good rating. I saw a lot of good write-up for it on the internet, but I guess it just wasn't for me. It was about these kids in, you know, regular England and how they got a free
as
day
opposed
from
to as irregular in England,
not posh England. All right, they got a day off of school and they, you know, did crazy shit, and that just didn't appeal to me, or at least not at the time. That's actually it for the really bad things that I watched. Now, in terms of the mediocre things, I watched a French movie last night. It starred Jean Reno, it starred Juliette Binoche, and it was called Jetlag. It was in the vein of, say, Before Sunset.
With Jean Reno.
I know, right? That's very strange.
Yes.
And this was a young Jean Reno. This was probably sometime in
impossible.
The 90s. Right?
He was never young.
Maybe early thousands, right? And it was essentially... What had happened is Jean Reno is on his way to Munich. Juliette Binoche is on her way to Mexico. And they both end up in this French airport. I guess it's probably Charles de Gaulle. Yeah, and crazy things happen. So there is ridiculous weather. The airport is on strike.
Ninjas.
The trains are on strike.
Godzilla.
There is no way for them to get anywhere that they want to go.
Dragons.
So they are stuck in the airport. Jean Reno...
No, there's none of those things.
No, none of those things, unfortunately. Jean Reno is a chef. Juliette Binoche is a beautician. They somehow connect through a series of conversations. And that's really mostly what this movie is. And of course, you end up with a happy ending. And it was...
It was mediocre.
It definitely was not as good as, you know, those movies that we love to talk about. But I still enjoyed it a little bit. So there's something to it. And of course... I love both of those actors, so there's that as well. I also watched The Raven, starring John Cusack as Edgar Allan Poe. I saw Damien. Damien took a look at this list item and kind of gave me this, why would you do this yes. to yourself kind of look.
WTF, Douglas.
Right, and I watched it with someone and they didn't like it either. But honestly, to tell you the truth, while I didn't find it spectacular or great... I still kind of enjoyed it a little bit.
I like John Cusack.
Yeah.
I like 1408. I like 2012.
You like 1408?
Again, I like John Cusack.
I'll give you 2012. That was a decent movie, but 1408?
Right. But that movie looked like garbage from the word go.
Have you watched it, though?
No, Douglas.
No, okay. All right, so then you cannot talk. Andrew, have you seen this movie?
I agree with Damien.
But have you seen it?
I agree with Damien in every sense of the word.
Well, then, none of you can talk.
Right, this, yeah, because that's what this podcast is about.
I was leaving you alone. You came to me. You be quiet. I will now talk about The Raven.
The Raven is, it's a mystery. It's just one of those movies. And honestly, John Cusack, in my opinion... finally plays John Cusack once more. I don't think he has done that in a long time, but he did that in this movie.
That sounds tempting.
Right? And I'm not going to tell you that it was great. It wasn't.
In
right?
other
Look,
news...
I watched Step Up Revolution. So I've no leg to stand on here.
Exactly. So this movie, while not great, I thought was entertaining. And, you know,
you understand
a decent
that
watch.
If I watch this and you're wrong... I'll give you no end of shit for this.
I know you will. And I would expect nothing less from
you. Damn right.
Okay. So, I also watched
a TV show that for some reason seems to be an Encore original TV show, but at the same time,
like another TV show. Like The Take or Thorn. Yeah.
For some reason though, I'm able to actually watch all of these episodes before they came out on Encore. I don't understand why. But anyway, the name of this show is The Crimson Petal and the White. It originally aired on BBC, and Encore has taken it as its own. It's starring Chris O'Dowd from The IT Crowd. And that was... That along with the trailer for the show, which kind of showed a lot of really cool shots, kind of got me into it. Right now, I want to kind of just put it in the zone of I'm not quite sure yet. It from the first episode I would not continue, but I'm kind of going to give it a pass and just say that it's probably suffering from first episode-itis, where it has to introduce everybody and tell you what's happening and make sure you understand what time we're in and who is who and all of that good stuff. So I'm gonna take it as it is and say that I hope that it gets better going forward. There's only 6 episodes. I've watched 1. Let's see how it goes. Now, I've got 2 TV shows, both British, that I really like that I've seen. One is Wallander. I'm not sure if I've spoken about this before because I've actually watched this a while back, but Damien spoke about Sir Ken Branagh.
Yes.
And it reminded me of it, so apologies if, you know, I'm
you have Ken Branagh there.
Sorry. He's Sir Kenneth.
Fix it. How dare you? That man was knighted by the Queen. Our Queen.
So was Elton John, and she's not my queen.
She is your queen.
No,
how many other queens do you have?
I don't have any queen.
No, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do. Are you part of the Commonwealth, sir?
No, I am not.
How did you get out?
So, Wallander is... Anyway, Wallander is a detective show. I've actually really gotten into these British detective shows, to tell you the truth. But it's a detective show. Kenneth Branagh plays this guy named Wallander. He is this kind of great detective that doesn't necessarily follow the mold, which is kind of the usual formula for great British detective shows. And it kind of, you know, moves from there. And it, you know, is a good little procedural. It's one of those... I notice a lot of British, or at least the good British TV shows that I watch, are based on books. And this one is as well. And I guess it's a series of books about Wallander. I know that there have been 3 seasons so far of about 3 or 6 episodes. So either there have been a lot of books or they kind of went with it. So I want to see where they go because this is really, really good stuff. And I almost said Kid Ultra again because it's on the top of my list. But the last thing that I watched that I'm just going to give as good, even though I didn't really like the first episode, is Ghost Squad. It's about this policewoman who joins this special kind of unit that is kind of like an internal affairs kind of group. So it's along the same lines of The Line of Duty, which was a fantastic show. I finally got to watch all of it, and trust me, it was great. Have you seen it yet?
I've seen the first 2 episodes.
It's stellar.
How many episodes did it end up?
I think there are 4 of them.
Okay.
Or 5.
Pretty sure there was more than 4.
No, you know what? It was... whatever. It was maximum 6. Yeah. You know what these things
<We're looking.
laughs> But, so, Ghost Squad is about something like that. Except it starts off... Well, actually, just like Line of Duty, it starts off with this lady in a separate unit. Something goes crazy and she has to move over. But instead of Line of Duty, where that happens within the space of 5 seconds, this happens within the space of the first episode. And... where I think they went wrong was that they tried to make it so that she could not do anything other than go to this unit, which means drama had to be racked up upon drama that had to be racked up upon drama. It was so ridiculous. Because actually, the first, I'd say 15 minutes, started off great. You know, I saw the quality of the actual technicals behind it, and it was pretty good. And that kind of stayed true, in a sense, throughout. And the setup was great. But then it was like the episode took a U-turn and said, you know what, I'm not going to be serious anymore. I'm just going to give you the most ridiculous yard tale, I don't know what to call it, that I could ever give you. So this girl, right, this cop, brings in this small-time drug dealer, and she doesn't have any space for him, or she doesn't have any time to deal with him because all sorts of crazy things are happening in the unit. And so she plops him in an interrogation room, walks away for 5 minutes, comes back, and he's dead.
Of course.
Bleeding. And she, you know, goes to his aid, tries to do some mouth-to-mouth, but it's too late. There's blood all over, and she's told, you know, everything's cool, go and, you know, take a shower, put on some new clothes, whatever. She comes out, and it's like she's in a new world. Her clothes are missing. All the evidence of the murder is missing. There was apparently a phone on the guy, and it's disappeared. And she's dragged into an interrogation where essentially they're like, so you did it, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to just tell us? Because I can't bother with this right now. And the whole station is on lockdown. Nobody can get out. It's like a scene from 24 on steroids. And that is how the rest of the episode... It actually builds from that. So you can imagine how bad this gets. But...
I'm going on blind faith here
because Steve, again, he told me that this is a 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Right.
And
why would Steve lie?
What? Steve don't lie. I mean, when he told me that criminal justice was rubbish, I knew he was just joking with me. But no, the truth of the matter is because of, you know, you see the technicals behind it. I'm giving it a chance. And I started watching the second episode and it started off okay. So I'm hoping and praying.
Okay.
But that's essentially the last thing that I will talk about today. I have wasted enough of our time. Andrew
Robinson, quick question. That they've cancelled the newsroom, are you still going to have that podcast?
Wait, sorry, they cancelled the newsroom?
They did not cancel the newsroom.
I would have smacked somebody. I would have gone up there to New York, went to the corporate offices of HBO, and bitch smacked whoever did that.
Didn't Sorkin fire everybody on the staff, though?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure I heard that.
Well, okay. I'm going to put a positive spin on this and say that Frank Darabont did the same exact thing for Walking Dead, and the second season was pretty stellar.
Fair enough. So, Andrew.
But that show got a second season green light from like episode 2.
Okay. So, Andrew.
Wow, why would they do that on episode 2? That was so poor. That was a poor episode. Everything since then has been fantastic, by the way.
I stopped at 2.
You stopped at 2? No.
I'm going to watch all of them when it's done.
Okay,
going,
fair enough. Please. By the way, can I tell you, after watching Breaking Bad for 2 or 3 episodes now, I kind of wish that I did it your way, because there's so much time. Not only is there, honestly, I can deal with the waiting. What I can deal with is watching it and then forgetting things. You know, I kind of want to just marathon it, because there's so many intricacies to that show. I mean, like the way the second episode ended was, I'm sorry, but I think that was the best ending ever.
Anyway. I like to tell you that I know what you're talking about.
No, I know you don't.
I've seen episode 1. You could just do like me. You could just do like me, Douglas, and enjoy it like how you're enjoying it now. And when it's over, watch it again.
Oh, I'm totally going to do that. When it's over, I'm going to watch the full 6 series. There are 6, right? 6 seasons? Or 5? Okay.
There are 4, and this is number 5. And unless you want to be that kind of person who calls what's coming next year number 6, even though it's really all 5.
Wait, there's something coming next year? I thought they canceled it after this one.
No. They're doing 16 episodes, and they're showing 8 this year and 8 next summer. So they're splitting
serious?
The 5th season into 2.
Andrew, yeah. I'm going to have to wait?
Yes.
Yes.
God damn it.
I'll watch the first 8 back to... Well, I've seen the first episode I'll watch. all eight once, and then next year when it comes again, I'll watch all eight.
You know they're not going to show you what the hell led to this machine gun funk until, you know, the last
the last. But that's what, that's Breaking Bad. You know that. anyways, what I've been watching. Right.
In your non-gold medal winning country.
So before I get to really what I want to talk about, I'm just going to go. I spent a lot of time this last few weeks watching some movies that I haven't seen in a long time again. So I just want to quickly run off. I saw The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and I honestly don't know why people are always making fun of this movie. Yes, it's kind of long, but it's really awesome.
No, Andrew, the reason that we make fun of you for watching this movie... Actually, not for watching it, because everybody gets, you know, fooled once. But for liking this movie is that it's really bad.
Damien?
I do not agree with anything Douglas has said. Because he's wrong. He's very wrong.
Thank you.
That movie's great.
That movie's horrendous.
Fuck you guys.
All right, moving on. I want
you
to be quick.
Internet
to
people
be quick.
Who didn't like that movie. That movie's great. Sure, it is long. All of us watch that movie.
The length of
that movie.
The length of that movie has nothing to do with
what the movie didn't make any sense. No shit.
No. Actually, the movie made sense.
No, it didn't.
What do you mean it didn't?
That premise is pretty stupid.
No, the premise is stupid. All the dialogue was good. It doesn't make sense once you're
on board
with the premise.
The setup was good and the payoff was great. So what exactly did you have a problem with?
Everything.
Oh, all right, fine. Well, thanks for that rebuttal. Andrew Robinson, what else have you watched?
I also rewatched The Iron Giant. And who said that a children's movie is supposed to have such great dialogue? The child goes and he says, what is it again? To die isn't bad, but to kill is bad. When is a children's movie supposed to have such a simply beautiful way of looking at life? That's not fair. I rewatched Rushmore, which I got on Criterion Blu-ray, and that movie is so much better than I remember it. I always liked it, but I mean, we haven't really talked that much about Wes Anderson generally. Fantastic Mr. Fox brought him into a whole new light with all of us, I believe. But Rushmore is pretty much on that level of Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I mean the only other movie of his before that I held up that high was Royal Tenenbaums, and that I can't wait for the Criterion Blu-ray release. That movie's awesome. I also rewatched The Hate, Lahane, movie we reviewed, and everything stands that I said before, but I just want to throw out there, I didn't notice the first time that when you first introduce these characters, they always introduce their names written somewhere before you see them. Saeed writes on the van, does his graffiti. Vince, you see his hand ring thing, and Huber, you see his name on the boxing poster. And it's just a nice little touch.
Did you not realize that? That was
I didn't realize it the first time.
Prominent.
He didn't just see saying. It. He just said he didn't see it. You know, like how you haven't seen. There's so much.
You remember Douglas when you hated the Avengers?
As a low blow. The man had a written apology, Andrew Robinson. You cannot hold that against him. It was a dark time in his life, and he rectified it.
Anyways, onto the stuff I really, really want to talk about. Firstly, there's this show called Louie, right? And around a month ago, I brought it up saying that I was giving it a second chance. When it first started 3 years ago, I started watching it and I got like 3 episodes in and just couldn't go any further. Wasn't a fan, right? This time around, I started and I went 3 episodes in and I was having issues. I have pushed through and I have now finished watching the first 2 seasons, and this show is amazing.
Ah.
The duckling episode, which is near the end of the second season. I don't know how Louis C.K. pulled off getting that episode done on such a shoestring budget show, which he's allowed to do so much with.
Well, in the second season, he had a boatload more money than the first season. Like, Fox threw money at him left and right to do essentially whatever he wanted with that series after the first season aired. So it wasn't shoestring, the second episode, but that episode is amazing.
They even had an episode with Dane Cook, and
there's one with Joan Rivers, which is
yes, there's one with Joan Rivers. I forgot about. yeah, this last week I literally just pressed play on Netflix and let it just keep going. It was great. I also watched The Lorax.
Tell me it's good, please. Tell me it's good.
It is good-ish.
Nope.
It isn't perfect.
I don't want to hear.
But there's a lot of really good things in there. I love the animation style. I love, for some reason, that those the minions from what was that? What's that movie again?
Despicable
the
Me.
The one with Steve Carell. That was last year. Yeah, the minions from Despicable Me have become like the image for that studio. That animation studio. I like that very much. I love the animation in this movie. There's a lot of musical scenes in this movie.
Is it better Ed than Helms Cloudy plays... with a Chance of Meatballs? Because I don't know if you like that movie.
Ed Helms plays the lead character. Pretty much the lead character. And I like him singing and stuff. He plays banjo. It's kind of awesome. The movie's goodish. It's not perfect, but whatever. Continuing on this goodish factor, I also watched Pirates Band of Misfits.
The Sony Claymation.
The Claymation one with Hugh Grant and Brendan Gleeson and all sorts of people in there. And it is once again goodish. There are a lot of really good elements. The monkey is hilarious. Hugh Grant pulls it off. It's kind of great. I mean, this movie has one of my favorite Flight of the Conchords songs in it.
Wait, sorry, what?
Right. And when that comes in, it's just hilarious.
What's the name of this movie again? Pirates what?
Band of Misfits.
Band of Misfits.
Okay, consider that watched.
Andrew, let's take bets. Won't watch it this year. I'm sticking with that. Douglas will watch this year. Guaranteed.
Yeah. It has funny bits, but overall I just wasn't enthralled as much as I wanted to. However, the movie I really, really, really want to talk about this week. I watched Battleship.
Can we not do this? Can I leave? Rihanna is in this movie. And I am willing to bet, have you not seen Battleship, it is worse than Step Up Revolution.
All right, so hold on, Andrew, I have a question. She was on the Battleship, right?
Mm-hmm. I think she has... There was an article that came out that had all her lines, which are about seven.
Yes!
And none of them make sense. Two of which is...
There's one point where she looks at one dude and says, you look like Colonel Sanders.
Right.
Wow. So then, on the Battleship, she didn't ever really need her umbrella then, because
no,
of the,
no. I, all right, guys, this was was fun.
All right, so first of all, we all walk into this acknowledging the fact that Battleship is a bad movie. We know this before we watch the movie. We know this after we watch the movie.
You know, this sounds like a man that's about to say that he likes this movie.
That it wraps around and somehow becomes good, which is impossible.
Impossible. So when this movie starts out, it's something that's in a lot of movies in which a guy does something ridiculously stupid to impress a girl, right? And we see it in all sorts of movies, and we always wonder. Sometimes we look at it and we go, oh, that's kind of adorable. I'd see why she'd say hi to him after that. So what this guy does is he goes up to this girl and she wants a chicken burrito. They're at a bar. The bartender tells the girl the kitchen is closed. So my man says, give me 5 minutes and I'll get you a chicken burrito. The girl is like, sure. He runs outside to the quick stop or whatever it is around the corner To which the woman is locking up and has left. She's like, look, I'm gone. I don't give a shit about you and your burrito. So instead of coming back with his tail between his legs, what does he do? But he decides to break in to the mart to get a shitty $2 chicken burrito, warm up in microwave and run out. This woman views this man getting tased by the police as he's handing her the chicken burrito. And then we cut to 3 months later, or however many months later, when magically he and her are together and he's on the battleship. This movie, around an hour in, forgets that Liam Neeson was ever in the movie. They find a way to bring up the idea of the battleship game, of creating a grid and not knowing where you are for no reason.
There's a reason. So that they Peter could put Berg, the name on the title.
Peter Berg has the most Michael Bay of moments ever in a movie, in which after they have destroyed two of the enemies and they have one left and their ships are all gone, they introduce early in the movie that there is an old battleship which is a museum where old people, former Navy, are manning and giving tours in that museum. All of their ships are gone. What do they say? Shit, we have another ship around the corner and we're going to have all of these old Navy men man it with us. And it's just this most Michael Bay moment where he will just have the camera roll around on all of these nostalgic and people who all of America should just salute as they walk by. It's a horrendously ridiculous and atrocious film, but I found it hysterically amazing.
Andrew Robinson, why have you done this? Why? What? No one thought Battleship is good. No one will think Battleship is good. And that movie made so little money, we'll never have to see it again. In fact, Hasbro has discontinued the toy Battleship in order to prevent their company from being tainted by this nonsense. Why have you done this? Who do you think you're going to bait into watch this movie?
You, hopefully.
Oh, with this description? You're like, oh, the movie is garbage. And there's garbage shots. And it's a worse version of a Michael Bay movie. And Rihanna is in it. And it starts out like shit. And so you guys should watch it because it's kind of funny.
Maybe you can drink some whiskey.
Well, rum makes everything better. Even dance.
I mean, I would bring up The Dark Knight Rises, but is it worth me bringing up?
Yeah, guys, that movie's really good.
It's really good.
You know how we thought Batman was going to be good? It's really good.
I will tell you how the IMAX pissed me off this week. I went to go and watch The Dark Knight Rises. I saw it last week, Saturday, and Wednesday was Emancipation Day. So I decided I'm going to go and watch it again on Wednesday. I bought my ticket in advance. I had it in hand. I went up there early in the morning to go and watch the movie. And when I got there, they said, I'm sorry, the screen has been booked by BG, and we can't let you in. I'm like, what?
Who is BG? As in the guy from Cash Money? Is that he has hidden himself?
On this mic. Oh, I just did a spitty.
David.
Yes, Andrew. Can you tell me what BG is, please, ignore this nuts man said?
In your honest opinion,
yes.
Who is worse, me or Douglas?
Andrew, there's times when Douglas frightens me with some of the things that he says. Because you listen to him and he sounds like an intelligent person. Right, we have, you know, about 8% similarity in the type of movie we like. So I don't just immediately think that what he says is garbage. And then there's these gems that frighten me at times. And it's happened all through the history of the podcast. There's some in a couple of the early episodes that are frighteningly Douglas. You sit there and you're bewildered by how little sense the thing Douglas just said. You have to pause. Your brain has to shut down and reboot. Like, did he just say that? And then your brain just reset. Right, so Andrew Robinson, who is BG? You can't just say, oh, BG booked it. I assume that we understand.
So yes, you asked who BG is, yeah. Or who are you still fixing the mics?
He is still kind of fixing it, but we'd love to hear who BG is. Unless you'd like us to take guesses, which didn't work out so well to begin with.
Oh, I have another guess.
No, we don't want to hear it. Save me from
BG
Douglas.
Is one of the bigger oil companies out here.
Mm. Oh, so what you're saying is that they're like, fuck, somebody took BP. BC, no, fuck it, BG. Is that what happened?
British Gas instead of British Petroleum. Bahamas Gas. We're not Bahamas. Shouldn't it be TG? No, that's Tivoli Gardens. Yeah. You couldn't get that.
Right. BG, so works. When I got there, they're like, "Yeah, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have sold you that ticket." I'm like, "Ah, you assholes!" And of course, I had to go through rain to get there and all sorts of shit.
Andrew, please tell me that BG doesn't mean big gas.
I don't know exactly what it means. BG could be quite big gulp.
You're an idiot.
Isn't that that
you're
Dairy
truly
Queen?
Retarded.
Hey, yeah, because it
what
comes
does
from
that have
BQ.
To do with
BG from BQ.
All right.
Still picking up shortwaves somewhere. They're out in space.
So anyways, this week in trailers, first one I wanted to talk about is Cloud Atlas, the new film directed by Tom Tickfer and the Wachowskis.
Yesterday, my life was headed in one direction. Today, it is headed in another.
You ever think the universe was against you?
What the fuck?
Where's our money?
The law says...
The law!
Fear, belief, love. Phenomena that determine the course of our lives. These forces begin long before we are born and continue after we perish.
How long is this movie, Damien?
They're not brothers.
Yeah, so... So listen. Oh, the Wachowskis aren't brothers?
I keep forgetting that one of them changed.
Oh, that's what you mean. Right. Okay, yeah.
Because I keep wanting to say Wachowski brothers.
You don't know how many times that when I go to like write it down or say it, I will say Larry instead of Lana, and I feel bad. I don't know.
It's not really our fault.
Anyway, I want to start off the conversation mm-hmm. because I have probably the least to say about this trailer.
Right.
This trailer is really long. Mm-hmm. It promises me a really bad movie.
Yes.
But they did the trailer wrong. All they needed to say was, look at all the awesome people that act in this movie. And do you know who directed it? Oh, yeah, it's the guys that directed The Matrix. And the guy that directed 3, which was...
to be fair, the last time they did that, we got Speed Racer.
Yeah... Okay, that's a very fair point.
I will come to the defense
very
of Speed
point.
Racer.
Look. What the... Google, your parents. Yes, we like to talk long on your service. How dare you, Google? Look, I enjoy Speed Racer. But Speed Racer is not a good movie. So let us not use...
Damien?
Yes.
Speed Racer is an... Awesome.
Let's call a duck a duck. The movie's bad. And not a good kind of bad. It's really bad. We love it, though. But for all the wrong reasons. So you were saying you think this movie will be bad based on what you've seen.
Based on what I've seen, this movie is going to be atrocious. But I
The first question is this going to be one single movie, Andrew? Do you know?
I believe it's one movie, and I know that it's going to be showing at the Toronto International Film Festival.
You know what, though, Andrew?
So the assumption is it's 90 hours long, right?
I believe so. I believe they're chalking out a day just for it.
You know what, though, Andrew? When The Matrix came out, The Matrix was just one movie. Then they realized, oh, people like this. We can do what we wanted to do.
Yeah, but they've already shot this.
No, but they did the same thing for The Matrix.
No, they shot one Matrix movie.
No, they shot one Matrix movie for the first.
Yes.
And then the second and the third movie they shot together.
Yes.
But those were two separate shootings.
I understand.
And what I'm saying is they're going to do something, they could do something similar to
but
that.
What I'm saying is all the footage we've seen for this movies, one movie.
I know, and it's how do you problem. Get all of that footage exactly. into one movie?
Exactly. How are they going to do this? Do they just not intend to tell stories? They're just going to show you the images and move. Is this another Tree of Life? Is that where we're going? Because if it is, then no, I'm not doing this again. Not going through a Tree of Life situation. I don't care who directs it. Andrew, I get the sense that you enjoy this trailer.
I am very worried by this trailer.
Even Andrew.
Like, I just see it and I imagine these guys might be going way over their heads right now.
Yeah, the scope seems a little broad.
But I mean, there's the weirdest part about it is if you like, I'm guessing when you guys saw this trailer, you see like a serious sci-fi like set of stories being told out over, I'm guessing, as we said, 100 hours runtime, right?
Years.
But oddly enough, there's this little moment in the trailer where I'm guessing some guys come to shake down Jim Broadbent's character, and he talks about the law, and they shove a plunger in his face.
Right.
And it reminds me so much of stuff from Speed Racer,
which seems
far and apart from everything that would have been in the hard, long sci-fi epic that the rest of the trailer promised.
Before we even get to Speed Racer, was I the only one when confronted with those set of images thought immediately of the Big Lebowski?
Yes, you were.
We want the other Lebowski. I recently saw the Big Lebowski again, but I don't want to talk about that.
Because that movie's amazing.
Yeah. I think I've heard it's pretty good. The first time I saw the trailer, I was baffled. Because it was 6 minutes. And in that 6 minutes, I mean, there's 2 minute trailers that tell you essentially everything that happens in a movie. This is twice, almost three times as long, and told me next to nothing. It told me that there's a couple of actors that I like. It told me that the guys that gave me The Matrix, and then movies that progressively got worse after that point. And there's this other director that did a movie that Douglas still hasn't seen.
But should.
And so, while I want to watch this movie, I am afraid, because there's enough footage from enough time periods here to branch into a whole series of movies. Like, if this was a trilogy of movies that I've gone, well, I mean, it's a trilogy, so I guess they're going to be able to tell all these stories. They're going to flesh out all of this. But it isn't. It's supposed to be one movie, and there looks like there's a lot of things happening in this movie, which will lead... I said this to Douglas earlier, and Douglas said, it could be all of these things. I was hoping for one or the other. It would either be absolute train wreck because they tell nothing. There's no stories told. Just keep skipping from point to point. Or it's 4 hours long, which is equally as bad.
And just to let you guys know, according to Wikipedia, this movie has almost the same runtime as The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay, so it's going to be long. I'm afraid. this movie does not fill me with hope. It fills me with anxiety. Because I want to watch it, but I'm getting a John Carter vibe from this movie.
Virginia!
And while I do not hate John Carter as much now as I did when I saw it, because I've seen better movies since to wash away some of the nonsense. I know I hate the movie. I just can't remember specifically why I hate that movie. I know it's bad, and I'm never going to watch it again. So don't. I honestly don't. I remember the guy traveling back to Earth.
Actually,
and then
have
coming
John
back
Carter
to
outside.
Bar
you know, we can watch it, and you can remember.
I'm not going to even for money.
Damien, have you seen the Hunger Games yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I want to know which one you like more.
There's no way a movie can be as
Wait,
as
sorry.
John Carter.
The Hunger Games versus John Carter?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But, Andrew, while I don't think that was a great movie, that movie was okay. Based on general comments from John Carter, I'm pretty sure
from
okay beats that shit.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Damien announcement of that battle.
First of all, I'll be looking at Jennifer Lawrence for 90% of that movie, which is good enough.
That chick that was in John Carter was pretty hot. Don't remember her name.
I don't think Damien is talking about that. Are you?
Even if she did look good, but she wasn't on screen long enough. Nowhere long enough to make that movie any better.
Oh no, look, I think I'm doing something wrong, because now I'm making Damien try and remember John Carter.
What's the name
of the only
movie
hurt him.
Cloud Atlas. Guys, I love Tom Hanks, and I watch anything that he's in. Hugo Weaving, while he did do that werewolf movie, which was a travesty, he's still great. Even in that shitty movie, it was still good. So I'll watch him. And then there's a laundry list of other people that I like enough to watch them whenever I see them. So I want to watch this movie, but I can't, like, I feel it in my bones that this movie's going to be bad. The trailer didn't help that. And Andrew bringing up Speed Racer is not helping that situation either. Because if this trailer turns into a slapstick movie like Speed Racer, it'll be worse than I even imagined.
Alright, there's one thing I want to ask you about, completely unrelated, but because... Sure. Damien keeps saying trilogy, it just came to mind. It was recently announced that The Hobbit is magically going to become a trilogy now.
Okay.
As opposed to the two movies that was already scheduled.
Yeah, can I tell you, I don't understand that. Have either of you read either Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit?
I've read The Hobbit.
Lord of the Rings.
Well, that makes sense for Andrew because of how thin The Hobbit is. No. Okay, so with The Lord of the Rings, right? It made sense to not even be three movies. If they had made it to six movies, it would have been a possibility because those books are huge. And the truth of the matter is, it isn't three books. It's three volumes, each volume consisting of two books.
Right?
So it's really six books all told.
I think it was...
So, but if anybody has read The Hobbit is one book. It's not even just one book. It is one book... that is about a quarter of the size of either of the Lord of the Rings books. So I really... It's going to be really difficult for them to stretch that into
what
three movies.
What Peter Jackson is saying.
But I'm sure he's going to like add a lot of things from... what they call this book the Silmarillion, this thing that kind of published afterwards
right.
that was...
What he's
I'm
saying
sure
is that he
of
got
finishes.
A hold of a lot of the notes and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And that is what he's using to kind of... fill out all of the story, and he's going to show you things.
But so that means that he's going to have to do a lot of like essentially there's going to be a prequel, you know, it's going to be showing you what is the Middle Earth and
here lies the thing, right? That movie's wrapped, it's done shooting, right? They already said from the get-go it was going to be two,
right?
They wrapped at two movies. Where is the third magical movie coming
well, no,
from? Are
I'm
they
sure
rehiring
Peter,
Gandalf?
I'm sure right. Peter Jackson is the kind of guy that shoots so much footage for his two movies that he really could have made five.
Guys, I can end this conversation quickly. do you like Lord of the Rings, the trilogy?
Yes.
Andrew Robbins, yes. Do you like the Lord of the Rings trilogy?
Yes.
The guy who made the Lord of the Rings trilogy is making three more Lord of the Rings movies. Are you in?
Yes.
Did he make King Kong?
Yes, King Kong.
What does King Kong have to do with Lord of the Rings? Was he in any of the Lord of the Rings?
Did he make what was that? Was that weird Michael J. Fox?
He's made shitty movies since.
Oh, did he make that? Silent or the Knuckers,
the Scare Department or something.
No, he made, yeah, I know exactly what movie you're talking about. Was that him?
He made Adventures.
I believe that was him
with the other lunatic.
Is it Tintin or Tintin?
Whatever. He's made terrible movies, but he also made what might be the best three movies of all time. Right?
Well, that's going out on a limb there, but it's pretty good.
If you said to me, Damien, the guy that made these three movies are getting all the same people to make three more of these movies, do you want to watch them? The answer in every scenario, every one of them, including if you watch these, all your friends and family will die. The answer is still yes.
Hey, is Elijah Wood going to be in these movies?
No, he has nothing to do with them.
No, that...
Nope. It's too early.
I'm just
prequel.
Saying.
No one cares.
No, he existed.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, was
yes,
not born yet. Nope.
Yes, he did.
How
he
do
was.
You... Did you read The Hobbit?
Yes, I did.
Oh, well then.
All right, I'm sorry for bringing it up. Let's move on.
Hide in a corner. Right, so Cloud Atlas, skeptical all around. David,
all around.
Extremely fearful.
Yep. Agreed.
Look, put it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Next month, I'm going to the Toronto Film Festival.
Right.
That movie, I'm not sure if I'm going to put it on my watch list just yet.
I'm sorry, what?
There are so many other movies.
Andrew, just stop talking to me. Let's talk about the other trailer.
So, the next trailer I want to talk about is Killing Them Softly.
I come in here every day.
I know.
Look, I don't know you.
If you guys know me. You're in a position very few guys ever get in. You have choices.
Look, I don't know if I can do this.
You made a mistake, and you gotta make things right.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame.
You ever killed anyone? They cry, they plead, they call for their mothers.
And the man comes around.
I like to kill him softly, from a distance.
You come up here to do something, remember?
I don't take orders from you!
Get out of the car! Starring Brad Pitt.
Nope.
James Gandolfini.
No, flag on the play. Flag on the play, guys. Douglas just sang the Lauryn Hill song. So we're not going to ask him anything. He's in a penalty box. Andrew Robinson, what are your feelings on the trailer? I'll tell you mine and we'll move on. I'll not accept that.
This trailer makes this movie look awesome. And mainly for three main points in this trailer. The point when you see who is Win Duffy goes to talk to Ray Liotta, and they're saying, you know, don't really do anything to him. And they have this shot where you hear what's going on inside the room as he's walking through, and you imagine beating the shit out of Ray Liotta, and then he pops out the other side. That's awesome. There's also when the robbers are fucking around with this car, and he's like, it'll go up like a big thing, and then it comes back and it hits him and he flips over. That's hilarious. And then there is the intense moment of Brad Pitt introducing himself to this guy, one of the robbers at the bar, and he goes, not many people get to know me. And you can see how that scene is going to be played, in that he's going to show his hand as who he is, and the moment just looks palpable.
I saw that scene already in Drive.
Actually, can I tell you, that scene could go both ways. Like, when I saw that, I guess I see what you're saying. I see your side of the coin. But when I saw that scene, except for the fact that, you know, the later scenes kind of nullified my theory, But it seemed to me, it seemed to me that Brad Pitt wasn't really introducing himself and saying, "Yeah, come work with me." It was more like Brad Pitt saying, "The reason nobody knows me is that if I talk to you, it's because I'm about to kill you." And then
But the point
over
is,
to him and he has this such so fearful look
that's,
on his
that's
face
what I'm saying.
You know he's about
that
to
was
die.
What I don't know what you heard.
Oh, I heard something completely different. Andrew. Okay, all right.
That's exactly what I was saying.
I will sit down and not talk anymore.
That is why when I said I mean,
that I'm thinking about it, the fourth point would be the fact that they have that awesome Johnny Cash song in the trailer, but it's Douglas's job to bring up
the
music
soundtrack.
In trailers.
Okay, yes. Well, can I tell you, I agree. Good soundtrack makes a good movie, of course. But
about acting.
What is that? But I'm kind of fed up with movies that decide that if I put in a Johnny Cash song, it will make my movie badass. So that's kind of not a plus for me.
Who allowed Douglas to talk about this trailer? Aren't you in a penalty box? No one cares what you think.
I broke out, bitches.
Damien, what did you think?
I really want to see this. It looks good. This is what trailers are supposed to look like. you show us what is happening, but you don't give too much away. You give me a couple of cool scenes. Music. And then that's it. Just tease me enough so that I go, yeah, I'd like to see this. I'd like to see where all of this goes. It's a mafia movie, which we've seen a couple times. Once or twice. And there's
really?
A hitman.
You've seen a mafia movie before?
I've seen movies with hitmen before. Not about the mafia specifically, but with hitmen.
I saw that Timothy Oliphant movie too. That wasn't very good.
And now Andrew is in the penalty box. It's 5 minutes of silence starting now. So it's just me.
What happens when I have to introduce the next trailer?
It's
what
just
happens?
Me now. And the trailer looks pretty good. Ray Liotta is in it. He is not playing his typical Ray Liotta character. He's usually one of the head guys giving backing orders.
He's usually Henry.
Right.
That's what he usually is.
And he's not in this one. It looks like he's one of the chumps getting beat up.
Getting owned.
Which is good.
He also looks like he could have been in under robbery.
Yeah. It looks interesting and the trailer is pretty good. And I'd like to see it. I'd like to see very much. I saw this trailer and I'm glad that Andrew picked it. This week was a better week in trailers than the last time we were on the air. So yeah, what's the third trailer that we're talking about, Andrew?
The third trailer I want to talk about is the full theatrical trailer which just came out for The Life of Pi, the new film from Ang Lee.
Okay, so I'm out of the box, the penalty box, officially. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to start. I'd like to weigh in on this trailer. Mm-hmm. This trailer showed me that there was a boy who survived a big boat crash and got into a smaller boat with a tiger. No, what? Why am I watching this trailer, Andrew?
I've seen... It's a story as old as time, Douglas.
There's a boy and his tiger. And I mean, there's something to be learned. I mean, even Bobby, Ricky Bobby learned about driving with a tiger.
No, he did not. He did not. It was a completely different animal. He learned to drive with a cougar, okay? Okay? That's a wildcat right there. That's not a tiger.
So a tiger is no wildcat?
I am surrounded by idiots. Douglas, can you tell us what you actually think of the trailer, please?
This trailer is...
Yeah, yes, the premise is
poor.
Ridiculous.
No, the trailer is poor.
That is incorrect,
no,
Douglas.
No, stop, stop.
Douglas, no.
No, wait, hear me out.
I'm going to
hear
fight
me out,
you on this.
Hear me out. So, The trailer looks good. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. All of the CG... Well, most of the CG looks great. All of the shots are fantastic. But guess what? It's still a trailer about a boy who goes in a boat with a tiger.
And has a whale jump over them.
And has a whale jump over them.
How many times have you seen
How
that?
How could I forget this
How
trailer?
How many times have you seen that, Douglas? Zero no, times.
I have. I saw it in Free Willy. And it jumped the same exact way. This trailer is poor. Because that's all it has to tell me. That's all it has to tell me. All it has to tell me is there's a boy, there's a tiger, and there's a whale. That's Douglas. It. I need to know no, more than there's
not,
a boy and a tiger
not
and a whale.
The trailer doesn't
I need
make the
to know,
trailer bad.
I need to know that there is something that I can latch on to. I need to know that I'm not watching Wall-E with a tiger.
Douglas Robinson.
I need to know that. And because the trailer did not tell me, because the trailer told me absolutely
not
that that's what I'm watching,
job
the trailer told me that I'm watching Wall-E with a tiger. So I do not want to watch this movie, and this trailer was bad.
Douglas Robinson.
This trailer needs to understand.
Douglas said this is a bad movie,
it needs to lie to me and make me think it's a good movie, and it did not do that.
Stop talking. Because you don't like something, it does not make it bad.
What?
There's
people who
don't like chicken, and chicken is great. That people argument is a, like that chicken. Is a fact. That is a chicken fact, and you can't argue with my facts. Shut up.
Chicken is bad for those people.
You not liking the trailer does not a bad trailer make.
So, spectacular. Okay. With that fact out there, and with Douglas being labeled as a chicken hater.
Right.
Damien, what do you think about this trailer?
This trailer is gorgeous. I'm not going to watch this movie because Ang Lee made it, so it will be bad. It will be. He's made, in my view, a 1.5 good movies.
tell me, what are these? What are these movies?
What's the half? I know the one.
The full one is Brokeback Mountain. Okay. I don't like that movie.
That movie is
but
awesome.
I understand that is a good movie. You see how I'm consistent with my All point?
Right, fair enough.
The half is Crouching Tiger. Because that movie is bad.
But
I love it.
Good.
Oh
what?
My
hold
god,
hold
I love
hold
that
hold
movie.
Hold up. We
if
have
you
had
think
many
for
discussions
second.
About Ang Lee over all right. the years.
All right.
I don't
look,
think
look,
we've ever
look.
Talked about Crouching Tiger.
Look.
How the fuck
look.
Do you not like Crouching Tiger?
I did not
no,
say
he
I
did
don't
not say
like
that. He
where
said,
did
no,
you
he
hear
said,
that?
Listen, Andrew.
Where
he said,
did you hear
he
that?
He said the exact, the correct thing about that movie. He said that movie is bad.
That movie's the half.
But he loves that movie, as do we
that
all.
How is that movie bad? That movie's amazing.
No,
fine.
You like that movie.
No, wait.
I like that movie.
Wait.
That doesn't make the movie
argue.
Good.
No, we're going to argue, Crouching Tiger. The story makes no sense.
The people fly.
The story that movie's based on. Solely on makes no sense. At any point does that movie make sense? She ran down a criminal into the desert for a comb, Andrew Robinson, for a comb, and then fell in love with him and fell into the dark side. That statement that I just made should have me shot because of how little sense it makes. The movie's bad. Because the story part of the movie doesn't exist. That is why that movie's a half. Because the half of the movie that we love is the flying bits and the action. That is half of the movie. And I love that. I love
why is it that expected?
To
expected
my grave,
back
I will
to
love
be the
that
half
movie.
And crouching
but that
to be
does
the
not
one.
Make that movie a good movie, Andrew. Rambo is not a good movie. I love that movie. And I love it. Cobra. Do you think Cobra is a good movie? That movie is barely a movie. But I
still haven't watched it.
Oh, sweet Jesus. If you think Rambo makes no sense. Sweet Jesus, watch Cobra. No.
Damien, I leave this podcast today having a changed opinion of you now.
No, you don't. Right, because I still hate Brokeback Mountain and still love Crouching Tiger. But one of those is technically a good movie. and the other is not.
I think tonight I have to watch Crouching Tiger now.
If you think, I've watched Crouching Tiger at least once every year. Because at some point I started watching karate movies and I do not stop until I realize that karate movies make no sense again. I always hit that point where I go, all right, none of these make sense. And then I stop.
I love it when karate movies are just named after the style of karate right. that it ends up making at the end.
Right. The karate movie marathon usually ends with Kung Fu, where Kung Fu Hustle, where he does the palm thing, and I go, all right, none of these movies make sense.
You know, I love that Douglas Andrew, didn't like that movie at one point.
Do you remember, it's a Jackie Chan movie, something like the snake in the eagle's shadow. That movie is amazing.
Rumbling the Bronx.
Rumbling the Bronx, my God.
I'm sorry, Drunken Master is always
Drunken
what I go
Master
to.
Drunken Master, awesome, yeah. Legend of the Iron Fist. I mean, countless movies. And none of
Black,
them
do you, Black
you,
Mask.
Do you watch the one, what's it called? The Black Mask or something
yes.
like that?
Oh, Jesus, I love that movie. Oh, my God.
Oh. Those are the only brand of foreign movies which I never want to see subtitles, so I always want dubs.
No.
Just because.
No. Incorrect. Subtitles work just as well because they make no sense.
Anyways, we were talking about the life of Pan Ang Lee. I derailed us.
Right, back to Ang Lee. Look, this trailer is spectacular. It is beautiful. I so much want to. Every fiber of my being wants to watch this movie. The premise is unique. Right? I've never seen anything.
No. You can't call shit unique.
How many?
You cannot call shit unique.
Boy plus boat plus whale movies. Boy, boat plus whale plus tiger movies have you seen?
Wally,
you've never seen any
I
of them.
I saw Wally.
You've never seen any
I
of them.
I saw Wally. Well, no, you know what? I saw Jungle Book 2. That movie was bad as well.
There's no boat and no whale. I want to see this movie so bad. But then at the end, it says Ang Lee. And nothing turns me off more than knowing that I could point to other movies in his track record, but it is pointless. All it would do is further anger me and
well,
make me want to watch it. Stop it, Douglas.
He did Lost Caution.
All right, I'm going to. Can I mute Douglas? Is that even possible?
And now you're stuck with
Look,
me.
Now the trailer is so good. So unbelievable. Like, I want to. I've seen.
But how is it
I've
good?
Watched
all
the
it does,
so
Damien,
many
Damien.
Times.
No, honestly. You
Douglas,
have to. No, wait, wait, wait.
You're about
you
to make
to,
a hypocrite
to,
out of
you
yourself.
You have to explain this to me because this. Listen, you know, wait. You have to explain this to me
you're
because
about
how
to make
is
a hypocrite
this trailer
out of
good
your sense.
If all that it does is it shows you pretty pictures. Mm-hmm. That's all it does. Mm-hmm. All it does. Mm-hmm.
Guys.
Yes.
Guys.
Yes.
I just wanted to bring this up mainly because I think I'd find it hilarious to see Douglas's response to this. But this is what the trailer doesn't tell you, right? Mm-hmm. You see boy, tiger, boat, whale, right?
Yeah.
This movie, as you see in the beginning, he goes on a boat and it sinks and he ends up on a little boat. But what it doesn't tell you is he ends up on a small lifeboat with a Bengal tiger, a spotted hyena, and an injured zebra, and an orangutan.
I told you I saw a zebra. Sorry. He told me I didn't see a zebra. I saw a tiger.
So that's everything that actually ends up in that boat right there. Right. So just to see the response from Douglas.
So this is a movie about Noah and his shitty ark. And there's a whale. And that's spectacular. Right?
It's about Noah and the whale. That's a really good rock band. I love them.
I'm going to stab Douglas so many times. Guys. Can for the next couple of because it's coming out October, right?
But no, you still haven't answered my question.
What?
How can this trailer be a good trailer
Douglas.
If all it does Douglas. Is show you pretty pictures?
Douglas Robinson.
And
we've been doing this for about 40 years now.
All right.
And we've seen
this movie comes out in November.
We've seen trailer after trailer with only pretty pictures.
Like what?
Like the Skyfall trailer.
No, that trailer tells you that it's about James Bond. Oh.
Okay.
There's a reason to like that.
Every foreign trailer that we've ever seen ever. No, because all trailers are. By definition, is a series of pretty pictures with music. Right? And this one has executed it perfectly. Now, I know it. In all likeliness, this movie will come out in Jamaica. So that will save me for about another 6 months. And I won't see this movie till mid next year. And by that time, hopefully, I'll have forgotten that Ailee is making this movie. But the trailer did its job. I really, really like this trailer. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. Holy shit, is this beautiful. And that final scene with that whale jumping out of the water with all the lights is glorious to look at in 1080. Dear God, I want to see this. Can I just have a presented by Chris Nolan sticker on top of the movie? Then I'll watch it. Quentin Tarantino,
you can always
presents.
Cut that in like you would do anyways.
I'm just afraid that Ang Lee is going to try and tell a story. Which is always a letdown. He did what was the other the latest Kung Fu one he did? Something of Flying Daggers or some such nonsense.
He didn't do that movie. That was Zhang Yimou. No,
he did some petal, something about petal.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Right, petal. Some giant Kung Fu movie with petal nonsense.
I remember not liking it.
It was horrendous. Yeah. He went, people of Crouching Tiger, I'll go back to this well.
No, he hasn't done any such movie. Since Crouching Tiger, he did Hulk, Brokeback Mountain, Lost Caution, Taking Woodstock, and then Life of Pi.
Taking Woodstock was bad. Did you watch that movie?
No.
That movie was bad. Man, oh man.
Oh, alright. So, Andrew Robinson, you've been gushing about this trailer for about 2 months now. You saw it ahead of some other movie, and you're like, have you guys seen the Life of Pi trailer? And every week, have you seen the Life of Pi trailer? And it finally came out to YouTube, and when I saw it, I went, I bet this trailer is fucking shit. And I was wrong.
And actually, this wasn't even the trailer that I saw. The one that I saw was basically a snippet clip of like one scene with all of these fish coming over, and then him having to fight for a fish against a tiger, which was an amazing scene. This is a much bigger trailer which they released, which is still fantastic. However, I will give it this negative comment, but at the same time, I'm going to take it away in a moment. I hate it when trailers do this, when they start to play that music and they put in all of these text cue cards throughout the trailer. A story so big, a life of a child, and all of these things. And you're like, yeah, they're going to be playing this directly to like 10-year-olds and stuff. And I didn't like that. However, at the same time, Scorsese's Hugo did the same exact thing. And I was so skeptical about that movie. But when it came out and I saw that, that was pretty much one of my favorite movies of that year.
Yeah, that movie was really good.
And once again, anything else, I'm looking forward to a filmmaker I respect. I know Damien doesn't. A filmmaker I respect purposefully using 3D and using it well.
What exactly do you respect about him?
Damien already knows this. I love Lost Caution. I love Brokeback Mountain. I love Crouching Tiger.
Like Lost Caution.
I love The Ice Storm. And there's still more of him I have to see. Sadly, he made Hulk.
Someone say, Lost Caution.
You know what? I get very upset whenever I hear Andrew talk about Hulk like that. Because while I don't like the Hulk,
or anyone else in the universe,
right? Andrew loves the Hulk.
Yes.
Andrew thought that the first Ang Lee Hulk was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But every time he talks about it when we are recorded, he denigrates it. Right. He makes it sound
I have to keep the guys up.
That was the one bad movie that Andrew made. You love that movie, Andrew. Admit it.
Only if I hate the Hulk.
What? Sorry?
My internet card is only valid if I hit the Hulk.
Oh, you're right. Yep.
Actually, no, I kid. It's one of those movies that I've turned on. I'll be honest about it. I mean, it's just like Crash. Douglas, you can admit to this. I was a big fan of Crash when it was just coming out.
Oh my god. Can I tell
but
you?
But I've turned on that movie.
So, how did he start a podcast?
So Andrew loved Crash so much that he made me watch it. I said to him, Andrew, I saw the trailer. It looked like shit. I'm not going to watch it. He's like, no, it's so great. Then I said to Andrew, Ludacris is in that movie. And he said to me, no, it's so good. He's great. He pulls it off. He does a great job.
That's like
so
a flag.
I say, you know what? All right,
no.
Let me watch this movie. Let me just at least that way, right. Even if it's bad, I don't have to hear him anymore.
Right.
So I watched the movie. And when I tell you, at every turn, I said to myself, you know what?
There's no way they'd do this.
The cheesiest, horrible thing would be for them to do this.
Nobody in their right mind would write the. Oh, okay.
That's where they go. And every time, it gets worse and worse and worse. And
racist cop that doesn't like black people accidentally shoots black person. What?
And then, at the end of it, I took out the DVD. Because it was DVDs at the time. There were no Blu-rays. I take out the DVD,
and
put it in the...
started cutting yourself.
DVD. No, I didn't cut myself. I walked upstairs to Andrew's bedroom. I took the DVD case, and I slapped him across the face. And that is my story of how I actually ended up watching Crash.
I'll not have a brother that likes Crash. I should have done this a long time ago. I smothered you to sleep.
You know what else Andrew used to like? You know what else Andrew actually owns? 8 Mile.
We've brought this up though. We've talked about that before.
Guys, but 8 Mile is so good. Huh? All those performances.
Yeah.
Dreadlocks Mackay 5-4.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And what's his name? The guy I like who's in Real Steel and Hurt Locker. What's his name? I can't remember it now.
Oh, the fat guy.
Oh, not no, a fat no,
the
guy.
Fat guy.
He's in Half Nelson.
God, I can't Half remember Nelson? His name.
Who else other than Ryan Gosling is in that movie?
In Hurt Locker, he was the black guy, the other sniper guy that was in the platoon.
Oh, Tupac?
Yes, Tupac, right.
Yes, Tupac.
Anthony Mackie. Something, right?
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
Anthony Mackie. He's also in 8 Mile, and he is the last guy, the guy who he beats at.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Everybody in the 2-1-2-3.
Oh. I mean, it's kind of like this week when I discovered Sam Rockwell is in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
I told you about this a long time ago, Andrew. I remember when I found out. I found out when me and my college friends rewatched the movie again. I think I was in like third year at the time, and at the end we were like, "Whoa!" Rewind, and we picked up that it was Sam Rockwell. How do you not notice?
I have never noticed this before.
IMDb has wrecked a lot of, you know, actors' gravitas. Because you want to love people and point only to the good movies. Like Michelle Williams. Like, I want to call her the next Meryl Streep.
And then
to everybody that I see. And then you see in the corner. And we used to have these discussions on Saturdays after football was over. We like go in to IMDb and go, let's find the one actor without any blemish. And we used to argue back and forth, and there'd always be like a one movie that you kind of sometimes ish on. And so we'd go and find that movie, and then it's like the most horrific thing you've ever seen in your life. And you go, I could have done without that. So yeah. Nobody, no actor is pure.
Even though I would make the argument that for that discussion you should negate everything before when they really made it and could actually do what they want.
You can't do that. Because some of the early bad movies, they are also bad in. It's not like they're exempt from it. You watch them and you go, oh yeah, no, Antonio Banderas was bad in this movie. Holy shit. I remember when X versus Sever came out, we had one of these discussions. Because it was Zorro. We all love Zorro. And there was Desperado.
What?
We all love. Everybody loves Zorro when Zorro came out. Everybody
loves Zorro.
Zorro when
everybody
came out.
I mean, there was even that awesome fight scene where he basically took the clothes off the woman. That
exactly.
was awesome.
Right. When he stripped her naked, people did back. That movie's great. No. we saw X versus Sever come out and watched that movie and went, good God almighty, this might be the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
The movie, it's called, it actually has another name, Ballistic.
Ballistic,
yeah. Ballistic
versus
X. Oh, that's the one with Lucy Liu?
Yes, that's the one.
Yes.
That's the one.
Oh.
With Lucy Liu. Holy shit. I mean, that movie is so bad. We went, no, Antonio Banderas
and the
was only
is,
in
he's
good
in
movies,
so
right?
So many good movies, because when he was in Spain or wherever the fuck he's right. from, he was in all these Almodovar movies, which are all, well, I haven't watched them,
should
but
all
they
be,
should all be great.
At least decent
yeah,
movies.
You know?
So we went into his aura, we went, oh, so it's just Ballistics. And
all right.
So we thought, well, you know, everybody gets their one bad movie. And then IMDb came along and does destroyed all of that. I remember when we thought Will Smith was one, like we threw out Fresh Prince out of the mix. And then we started looking at the movies. And then Wild Wild West.
Wild West.
There you go. Oh, I mean, then later on he did £5 or £7 or
ooh,
whatever
boy,
the hell
that
is. And
was the other one Hero or
Hancock was half a good movie.
Not Hancock. the other one. The one where it's him one in the world.
Oh, I am Legend,
yes.
The ending of that movie's trash. The rest of the
I actually enjoyed the
up
rest
until
of it,
the end.
But
up until the end, the rest of the movie was
but
pretty
the
good.
The
but the end
that,
of
though,
that
is,
movie...
The thing about that though, is that the ending makes or breaks that
right.
movie. And so,
it's
because the
so
ending is
horrendous.
So bad, it's just... you can't watch it anymore.
What were we talking about?
I think we were talking about trailers.
Oh, right. No. You don't like the best trailer that has come out this year. And me and Andrew love it.
Caught up by the sun on the first day of out of bed. Lord, it was a plane crash, but I'm sure that I was dreaming. TV on, off blast, caffeine and science. Submission again, another day on this little island. Just about hands.
Your classmate Taylor Fisher was murdered in her bedroom this morning.
I was just attacked.
Sure you were, honey.
Are you guys accusing me of something?
There's a killer in Grizzly Lake who is affiliated with people at my school. Detention is in the library. It goes from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's right through prom.
It can't be any of us. We're not anguished enough. Our generation has had no major struggles.
What about 9/11?
Afghanistan.
Katrina.
Heath Ledger. What? Too soon.
So Andrew, he called it 2 weeks ago, pointed at the stands, said he was going to hit 6 runs or a home run or whatever it was, knocks it out of the park. Andrew Robinson, let's start with you. How goes it with your movie?
So first of all, I'm sensing a little hatred there. Is that...
No, I want you to tell us if you knocked it out of the park.
As far as I'm concerned, I fucking knocked it out of the park. I love this movie.
Okay.
The tension is, and I will start, a action, comedy, alien, time travel, science fiction.
It gets worse. Teenage rom-com,
teenage slasher, romance.
What? No,
all
no,
in one
no.
High school
spoof?
Movie.
Yep. Spoof. It is a spoof.
Spoof, Andrew. I'm disappointed. Who is in this movie? Who stars it?
Dane Cook.
Josh Hutcherson stars in this movie.
And who else?
Dane Cook.
Dane Cook is in there somewhere.
Andrew.
Dane Cook is in like one scene.
Andrew,
no, he's not.
Dane Cook.
This is
Nathaniel
this
Cook.
Is,
I have
this
no clue.
Independently
is.
Produced
but Dane
film,
Cook, really?
Directed by Joseph Kahn, the man who brought us Torque.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, Andrew. No, I saw that and I went, I see what Andrew did here. Andrew knows that Torque is one of the goodest bad movies of all time. I love, like, everybody that I've told to watch Torque has come back with a smile on their face. Because that movie.
Is it really? Is
Douglas really? Robinson? Douglas Robinson. Alright, you remember Airborne. You've seen Airborne.
Of course I've seen Airborne. Douglas many Robinson, times.
Torque is the Airborne of the bike world. It is so unbelievable.
Douglas.
Unwavering
Douglas.
In its badness.
Adam Scott is in Torque.
Whoa. Yes. Adam Scott?
He plays
Adam
a
Funny
FBI.
Man Scott?
He plays an FBI agent.
What?
With another chick. They're dressed as hippies the whole time and they drive a Hummer.
Douglas, if you haven't seen Torque, you need to watch it
though.
I think I need to watch Torque.
There's even a joke in this movie where they degrade Torque, and that's awesome.
Right. Ice Cube is in the movie.
I know that. And that's why I didn't watch it.
Yes. Right? What's the other? Shine? I think he's the other
Shine
guy.
Shine is in this movie.
I'm pretty sure he's in the movie somewhere.
Anyways, let's stop talking about Torque.
Oh, right.
Detention.
No, Andrew said Damon loves Torque. Damon also loves the FP. This guy made Torque. He's made Detention. And he was almost right. Almost. Now, Andrew thinks he's not this out of the park. The problem with the movie, Douglas, is that it spends too much time being clever and not enjoying the nonsense that the nonsensical premise that it's come up with. So they keep making jokes about these kinds of movies and keeps dreaming up more and more ludicrous things. In fact, towards the end, it starts to feel like they're just developing bits, like little jokes to throw in the movie to essentially, all right, remember the issue with Rubber? Rubber was fantastic for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they kind of, pardon the pun, ran out of road with their ideas.
Can I wave the flag? Penalty box? No?
I did ask you to pardon. It's the first thing that came into my mind, which is why I asked for a pardon beforehand.
Damien, I'd just like to tell you that what you did a while ago was akin to saying, all due respect.
Yeah, you guys are assholes. And I hate you all. Douglas, the first 30 or so minutes of this movie is, I don't know if you've seen Not Another Teen Movie.
I think I've seen bits of it, yeah.
Right. It is at Not Another Teen Movie levels of Arms House. They just keep ramping up just how ridiculous these type of movies are. They laugh at the fact that children who are in school now are in love with the 90s, because the 90s is the new 80s, and you dress like the 90s, and you listen to Backstreet Boys if you want to be cool, and you watch these slasher flicks, and there's a lot of funny things. For the first 45 minutes, I'll give it up to an hour. But then, instead of just going, all right, this is the world that we've established, and this is ridiculous, they just keep on going for no reason. And they keep in. So there's a sci-fi element that is separate from the time travel element. But the sci-fi element makes no sense. And in a movie like this, for a sci-fi element to make no sense is kind of incredible. I wanted to love this movie, but by the time the movie ended, it was just a little bit too ridiculous and not in a good way. I think it was off the mark, Andrew. Now defend your movie.
So I'll start off with saying, Patrick Swayze references are always welcome in my movies.
Fine. I agree with the bit of it. I am on board with the Swayze references.
I will admit I've never talked about this. Roadhouse is one of my favorite movies to watch.
Fine.
but let's get that let's move that aside for the moment, you know? That's just a side note to this movie.
Fine.
I see where you're coming with this, Damien. Mm-hmm. But the only way I can defend it is to tell you that as far as I'm concerned, it didn't run out of any road in this movie. Yes, it kept ramping up and kept bringing up new things. I almost feel like a lot of those things that they brought up were well structured and well set out from the beginning. Like even later on in the movie, they bring up an explanation for why the character of Ione keeps into this 90s reference, and it is one of the best payoffs I've ever seen.
Andrew, what about the fly?
The fly?
Yes.
That came out of left field, and that's my least favorite element of the whole movie. But at the same time, I find it hysterical into how it ends up. Like, I'm willing to forgive it for the payoff that it brings me. For example,
what about Dane Cook?
Well, if you're railing on Dane Cook for the fact that he's in this movie,
no,
is that what you're doing?
I don't
have
an issue with Dane Cook in being in the movie. It's just that he had two funny lines at the start, and then played such a major role towards the end. But none of it really. I mean, and I don't want to understate how little sense this movie made. For there to be something in the movie that makes even less sense. Alright, so you and I have seen the FP. The FP had its setup, and then it just lived in that world and kept being ridiculous, but only in that world. So they just kept pointing to other things within the world that felt part of this world. But in this movie, there's so many things coming at times literally out of a closet. That makes no sense.
How many are you going to use? How many?
Like it felt like they were trying too hard. You know how Community, whenever they do these episodes, they like stick to one thing and just hammer it, right? And you can't help but laugh. Like the Law and Order episode, tears ran out of my eye. They did it so well, right? That is what these movies, when they do that, when they stick to one thing, it can be great. But when you keep adding things and spoofing more things, that's the problem that the scary movies ran into the later parts. They
so what you're saying,
putting in more and more nonsense.
Essentially, what you're saying is that this movie is True Blood.
Correct, Douglas. True Blood was a spoof.
First of all, I'd like to say that Douglas has no say. He hasn't seen this movie yet. He wants to throw out words like this movie is True Blood. But
he
Douglas is
correct,
just being
though.
Aggravating. Just
he
to be
is
aggravating.
Correct. In the Andrew, you cannot deny that they set up a world, and for about an hour we lived in just that world, and it was funny. But then they kept adding more and more things late on. And the payoffs for adding those things it felt like he was trying to be too clever towards the end. He wasn't just enjoying the ridiculous world that he set up.
Okay, alright. I hear what you're saying, and sure, right? He definitely does do a lot in this movie, but let me try and give a little context as to how I love this movie, right? In the same last 2 weeks, I saw Ted,
A
movie Douglas talked about a while back.
What did you think of it?
He didn't talk about it. That's what he thought about.
I just didn't really want to talk about it in general. I didn't really hate it, but whatever. But the whole idea of Ted is what I'm coming to, in that their whole thing is that they will make fun of just having two friends who love to bring up pop culture references and just make fun. Like, oh, look, we're doing Joan Rivers to that guy. Or, oh, look, we're doing Ted Bundy over there. And it's just, oh, we're making fun of the fact that you and I all know this pop culture reference. Let's enjoy that. And I realized how little I enjoy that kind of movie. And I remember from a couple years ago, a movie which I truly loved, and Damien took some issue with, but it sounded like he didn't like that
it didn't have the same effect on him was Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Right.
Which was a movie which does something very similar to this, in that they find ways to embed pop culture references within the movie and keep referring back to it.
Hold on, Andrew. Was this movie very much like a lot of the spoofs that I have seen, where it's not just one story, it's about 10 different things put together?
Yes.
So why are you comparing it with a movie that actually has a coherent story?
No, he's just drawing
the perpendiculars,
the similarities between the perpendiculars, the pop culture references in Scott Pilgrim and this movie. First of all, Douglas, right? You haven't seen the movie.
That doesn't stop me from making an analysis.
You can't analyze figures you've never seen. Doesn't make any sense. I know that you are a stockbroker, so that is technically your job to analyze things that don't exist. But we're talking about a movie, so you stay out of this.
Right. So now that Douglas has been once again put in the penalty box, I will continue.
Yes.
Right. So Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and what it did was it embedded all of these pop culture references within the story, so that while within the story you still had this narrative of Scott Pilgrim getting from A to B, you could still get that moment where it looked at you and said, hey, you know this, you've played Zelda, you know this, laugh at this now. This movie did that for movies in general for me. And there's so many movies which want to reference movies and does it in a strange way. But this film, it did do that thing where it pointed directly at it. And especially because of how this movie was played off in the chapter version, in that every like 10 minutes or so, I don't remember how long each is, but let's just say, for example, 10 minutes or so, you would get to a point where you would meet a new character or something would happen. Like, for example, let's say the fly thing, and it's introduced, and then the movie would stop and it would realize that it's done some form of jumping the shark. And then it would create a whole new subchapter saying, this is an explanation for what you just saw. And that explanation itself would be a whole different movie of a whole different genre of movie that it ended up explaining that new item that was in this world. And yes, it creates a lot of these. And if you're one of those people who, after around an hour, you're going to be rolling your head saying, how many more will this movie bring up? This movie probably isn't for you. But at the same time, I adored it for that. Especially when it came to the ending. And once again, I bring up, Patrick Swayze references are always welcome in my life. This movie was just downright fun. It definitely isn't perfect. And maybe I was going too far by saying I hit it out of the park. But as far as I'm concerned, this movie is the definition of fun. And while it has all of those trappings, I enjoyed myself for the full 90 minutes. I've watched this movie 3 times in the last week.
Andrew Robinson, what about the ducks? It did not have a ducks moment. It did not. It tried hard, but it did not. And even if you go back to Torque, right? There is no bike fight moment.
There is Swayze. There is Swayze.
Look, yes, but that's a one line. They have about 4 of them, and those are one-liners that point to specific things that you have to be, Andrew. And this is the key thing. You have to be a film nerd like ourselves to have any shot of understanding what is happening here. Alright, and that is because they keep drawing things from other universes. If they had stayed in, like, the big hit didn't need to draw from any outside universe, they had Trace Buster and you moved on. Right? Airborne didn't need it, the FP didn't need it. Not another teen movie didn't need it. You stay within the universe you create and you draw as much funny out of. Ricky Bobby didn't need it. They didn't go all over. There was no time travel thing in Ricky Bobby. They had this ridiculous premise with this ridiculous character. And they went, we're going to continue to make you laugh in defiance of what you're supposed to do. The cougar thing, where did that come from? Right? But you don't need to be a fan of movies to understand why having a cougar in the backseat and driving is funny. You don't. You just inherently know that this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Yeah. And that is what? I don't think he was confident enough in the madness that he did at the start of the movie to continue, because there was more than enough. And, I mean, time-traveling space bears sounds funny. Sounds funny. Right?
There's your duck. There's your duck scene.
Only to... It came out of nowhere and it was only there for the end of the movie to make any kind of sense. And again, Douglas, that is not the point of these movies. At the end of the movie, it felt like he was trying to go, all right, you see all of this nonsense that we came up with? You see how it ends here? Uh-huh. Right, that's pretty clever, right? Instead of just going, you remember all of that nonsense? No, it's over. We're moving on. Right? It just... And Andrew, I don't want you to get me wrong, you know, because you like to do this. Whenever I say bad things about a movie, your assumption is that I think this movie is a 0 out of 100.
That's all I'm hearing right now, just to let you know.
Right? The movie is fun, but it is very narrow. You have to love movies in order to get any of these references. If you watch the amount of movies we watch, you'll get most of them. But that is... You can't put that as a positive. You can't go... You know, you have to have seen these 19 Hello. Movies in order for this thing... Because sometimes it's not even the entire movie. For this thing to make sense, you have to have seen all of these movies in order to get it. Not a strength. But the movie is still really funny. And I'm glad you brought it up. But it is not a home run. Which gives Douglas your next, right? Douglas is pointing at the proverbial stadium wall. Out the park, I say. And he's going to do it. Now, let me just say to all of you guys, if Douglas fails, I am already going to cheat. There are old ass movies that I love and everybody loves that you two assholes haven't seen. And that is where I'm going with my pick. Right? So there'll be no debate about whether my movie is good or bad. It will be
we'll just come in and take count. Right? Which one of us make less sense to right. Damien?
Who loves my movie the most? That is the argument. Douglas, right, what did you think about
the Detention,
Joseph Kahn's latest opus?
Well, I really thought that Hugh Grant's character was a little bit contrived.
I cut in his mic.
Douglas, and Gina Davis was just
have a quick question, ridiculous. Though. You saw 900 TV shows.
Yeah.
You also saw a fair amount of movies.
Yeah.
And you still were not able to find an hour and a half.
Especially after 3 days. 3 days of delayed podcast recording.
Let's just say
the Jubilee started.
I tried, but I couldn't find it in the video rental place. And it's not... I don't think it's on Netflix. I looked for it. Is it on Netflix?
No, it's not. It's on Amazon Video, though. It's on Amazon Instant.
I haven't gone on Amazon for a while. But no, I have. Mm-hmm. But if it's not a Prime video that I can watch for free, I can't watch it.
Anyways, we should end off this podcast. Douglas hasn't seen Detention. Damien, would you tell people to go and watch Detention?
Of course. Have you seen a lot of other... All right, if you're listening to this podcast, you've seen a lot of movies. You should give it a watch. It's
because it's now on Blu-ray. People can go buy it.
But before you watch that, there's about 5 movies you should watch first. The FP. The Big Hit. Torque. Airborne.
And just for the sake, go and watch Roadhouse, because that movie is awesome.
Roadhouse is not awesome.
Fine, I'll give him.
I'm going to, I'm going to make the internet hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Roadhouse, Roadhouse, sorry. You know what I thought you were talking about? Animal House. That's what I thought you were talking about. Apologies.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze as a bouncer. I understand. Okay.
And you can watch Van Wilder while you're at it. It's always fun.
Dirty Dancing is also awesome.
Nope.
But that's
Nope.
No love for Dirty Dancing?
Nope. Sorry.
You like to put baby in a corner?
Sure.
Everyone should go and watch this movie. I mean, unless you've watched a lot of movies, it's going to make no sense to you. But...
And guys, the Olympics is on.
I don't know if you watch the Olympics.
Jamaica will be winning a lot in the next couple of days. Now is the perfect time. And if you, when this comes out 4 weeks from now, what you can do is watch the highlight package of Jamaica destroying everybody. There would have been a Trinidad highlights package, but it got lost in the mail. So no one has seen or heard from it. So just watch the Jamaica one. On Batman. Born Legacy, I need to watch that. I'm not watching Total Recall under any circumstances. There's people who want me to believe that it's good. Now... I love Sony as much as the other person. By that I mean, not really. And I don't care how much money Sony has lost. Because there was a time there where Sony made more money than oil companies. So, Sony can suck it. And their remake of Total Recall can also suck it. How dare they? What? Oh, so bad.
So as usual, you can get the podcast over at gmanreviews.com. You can go and read all of my stuff at gmanreviews.com. You can find Douglas on Twitter at DJ R Lost His Name. Damien is at Damien_White with a Y. I'm at gmanreviews on Twitter. Thanks for listening and good night.
Got me set down. Really got my tongue down. Breathing in my brain. Really tie me down. Really tie my bed down. Really got me down. Really tie my bed down.